Welcome to the 29th Annual Executive War College brought to you by The Dark Report. This year's conference was in beautiful New Orleans, April 30th through May 1st. The title of this presentation is Re-energizing Your Performance Culture, Engaging Mindsets, Skill Sets, and Tool Sets. The presenters are Shikha Dharamrup, Director of Operations, ACL Laboratories, Advocate Health, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Linda McHale, MBA, MT, Assistant Vice President, Lab Operations, ACL Laboratories, Advocate Health, Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right, now you can hear me. I'll go boom you through, out of the place. So my name is Linda McHale, and as we were introduced, I'm the Assistant Vice President for Advocate Clinical Laboratories, a new name for those of us working at Atrium Health in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And I am Shikha Dharamrup. I'm the Director of Lab Operations for our core laboratory in the Charlotte market of Advocate Clinical Laboratories.
Okay. And we're here to talk about our story about how we went through a process to re-energize our performance culture with our teams, engaging mindsets, skill sets, and tool sets. So first, a little bit about Advocate Health. Advocate Clinical Laboratories operates as the enterprise laboratory for Advocate Health and is the largest nonprofit laboratory in the nation supporting an IDN. We provide all the laboratory services in both clinical and anatomic pathology.
Advocate Health spans across six states. Advocate Clinical Laboratories has 5,100 teammates, performs approximately 60 million tests annually, and we have three core laboratories that expand throughout the Midwest and the Southeast.
Our strategic plans are a series of goals, much like a lot of the laboratories here, looking at expanding inreach and outreach, conversion to value-based care. That's one of our key initiatives, as well as precision medicine, academic research, AI, all of the fun things we're talking about here this week.
So when you think of lean, are these the behaviors that come to mind? Collaboration, teamwork, commitment?
What would happen if I went to one of your teammates and said, we're going to do a lean project tomorrow? What kind of response would I get? Would I get, oh, yay, I want to be part of it? Or would I hear, oh, no, not again. Well, here we go again. What's going to happen to my role? You know, how much more work am I going to end up with this time?
Unfortunately, this is the feedback we often receive from leaders and teammates that have been part of lean process improvements since the 2010s. We were in a similar place in 2019.
So once upon a time, there was a house of lean. So in 2012, the then Carolina Health Network Laboratory, we've been through a couple of name changes over the last few years, received approval to move forward with the build of a new core laboratory. This core laboratory was to solve multiple problems of, we had disparate specialty testing in multiple spaces all across the organization, as well as a high volume primary clinical laboratory in one of our hospitals that was also commingled with reference lab work. So we had the opportunity to build this new laboratory, and it was going to be the lab of the future built on lean principles. So we started with a blank slate. This is Building H where we started, and it was basically a blank slate to work with. They brought together a group of process improvement leaders across the organization. We went through the 3P initiatives, multiple 3P initiatives. They built every single piece of equipment, everything for the laboratory out of cardboard, and worked through every workflow to see what it would look like. Lots of engagement of teammates throughout this process. As part of this, an operating system was created, and the leaders and the co-leaders in the space went through an intensive 45-day training session to learn all of these tools and processes. It was a very mechanistic approach, very much here's how the tool works, here's what we need, this is how you use it. It was focused on compliance, and it was interesting that it was about the tools, how we're going to work, and that this was new. It was going to be the lab of the future. And the change management approach was really more one of compliance, and the quote I heard was, you know, we're going to work in a new way. Either you're on the bus or find another bus. In 2015, the laboratory opened, and this is the schematic of what the laboratory looks like, and essentially this is still the lab we're working in today. By all accounts, the project was a huge success. Came in under budget, reduce steps, you know, all of the spaghetti diagrams to reduce redundant steps, as well as we hit the turnaround times. Everything was considered hit the mark. It was a very, very successful project. So at that time, when the lab opened, we were performing 3 million tests a year. Last year, in this same space, we did 6.75 million tests. So just to give you an idea of the space. So then 2019. In 2019, there's a new assistant vice president, me, and then Shika came on board as the new director. So fresh eyes to a space that had been open for 5 years. Many of the tools were still in place. We still saw standard work, Kanban systems. A lot of the things that were put in place were still there. But what was missing was the culture of improvement. So there was standard work and specimen management in 2019 with a 2016 date on it. So how often do things change in specimen management? If it was a culture of improvement, I would have expected to see something with a much more recent date. The other piece I noticed was there were multiple boards, you know, the huddle boards with improvements on them, but they didn't really align. So the term I used was random acts of improvement. People were working to improve, but they weren't aligning to anything or to any specific goals.
Yep. And as Linda mentioned, teammates were really struggling to find processes to focus on huddle. Our teammates recognized that process improvement was something that they needed to focus on, but they didn't really have a way to align back to organizational or even departmental goals. So some of the initiatives that they focused on were things that just came up in their minds. These included things like how much water teammates were drinking, or how many recognition cards were being received in a department. While these were all good ideas for engagement and teammate wellness, they didn't really connect back to any of our departmental targets or any organizational goals. We didn't have alignment.
So our house of lean had suffered a little wear and tear. The shutters were hanging, the roof had a few holes, but we had good bones, we had good structure, and we had great people.
So as Linda mentioned, both of us were new leaders in this space, and we saw a few behaviors throughout our process that we wanted to take a few minutes because they might sound familiar. These were also some of our opportunities for improvement. Even though we had 7 different departments under the same roof, many of our departments were working in silos. At the leader level, there was little to no collaboration across our departments or even an understanding of how they were interconnected. So, for example, if a technical department came up with a new process improvement or a solution, very rarely did they loop in our specimen management or processing area. When issues came up, leaders and teammates were just told to just deal with it. That's just how it's going to be. This really created an environment where many departments were resistant to change and leaders really didn't know how to be able to get buy-in at the teammate level. Often, leaders were spending most of their time focused on putting out fires. There was no visibility to any opportunities for standardization or knowledge sharing. We lacked a culture of working as one. My office soon became a revolving door. Anytime a problem came up, it was my responsibility to solve it. When I tried to suggest solutions and ask questions, my leaders always said, nope, can't do that. That's not how we can do it. We really weren't looking at opportunities for improvement. At the teammate level, teammates did not know each other, nor did they care to make connections or learn from each other. I still recall during my first month as a new leader, I was walking down the hallway. I saw a teammate coming towards me from the other direction. As we were passing by, I stopped and tried to say hello and wave. The teammate walked straight past me without any acknowledgement, any eye contact, and just continued walking. I was surprised. There was no smile. There was no hello. This happened pretty frequently across my days. We had some work to do. We had the tools and we had the processes in place, but our behaviors were not conducive to a process improvement or a collaborative and inclusive culture. We knew we needed to move from a tool-based approach to a behavioral-based approach. So where do we start?
So I had the good fortune, prior to working with what is now Atrium Health, I worked for a nonprofit healthcare organization whose role was to bring together organizations who were on a process improvement journey and learn from each other. In my 2 years with that organization, I had the opportunity to travel across the United States and see how other organizations were approaching their process improvement cultures. And one of the things I noticed is the organizations that took a behavioral approach and leveraged the Shingo principle were achieving greater results and had more sustainment. So as I came in, I said, let's start taking a look at Shingo. And the premise, Shingo was created by Dr. Shigeo Shingo, who was a pioneer and a process in the Toyota Lean implementations. If you do any research on him, you'll find his name all over. He was a sensei in total quality management, highly regarded. And the basic principles of this is ideal results require ideal behaviors. Principles inform these ideal behaviors. And systems and supporting processes drive behaviors. So what happened in the early 2010s or other, about the time that others were implementing lean is the first tendency for organizations as you start on your lean journey is to grab the tools, right? We want those ideal results. The easiest, the path of least resistance is often to start with tools. We can see tools. We can go to another organization and take a copy, you know, take a picture of their improvement board. We can get copies of standard work. Those are the things that we start with. We start with the tools, and then we organize our tools into systems. But as we saw in the previous slide, tools and systems drive behaviors. But are they the behaviors that you want? Is it the culture you want to create? So, for example, one of the non-healthcare examples is those of you may remember recently, maybe a year or two ago, Wells Fargo got in trouble, right? They had teammates who were opening new accounts on existing customers because their rewards and recognition system for their employees was based on how many new accounts they opened, not how many new customer accounts they opened. So that tool, those tools and behaviors, that reward system was driving a behavior that that organization didn't want. So we found some of that in our organization. So I'm not sure if others have experienced the same thing. You put things in place expecting one behavior and you get something totally different.
Yeah, as Linda mentioned, just an example of an unintended behavior that we had an and-on process that allowed teammates to signal for support anytime that they needed support or they faced a problem. While the intent of this process was really for teammates to get real-time support in fixing the problem and learning from the experience, this is definitely not what we saw. The unintended behavior related to this was teammates throwing problems over the fence. This might sound very familiar to some of you. Teammates were pulling and-ons left and right for the same problem over and over again, to the point where no paper in the printer was a problem, required leader support. As a result, we had highly skilled teammates at the bench level that really did not participate in problem solving, nor did they feel like that was actually part of their job. They weren't learning from their mistakes, and they weren't growing. Our leaders were getting frustrated because they were getting pulled in every which way. They were getting burnt out and not able to accomplish their own tasks. Engagement was low, both at the teammate and the leader level.
So the desired improvement sequence, if you follow the Shingo principles, is to start with those guiding principles. The guiding principles inform the behaviors. And then those behaviors, you develop systems and tools to support the behaviors that you want to achieve. So they connect that meaning of why and how with what you're doing. So what are these principles? Where do they come from? Fortunately, Shingo's created the principles for us as well. So their principles are aligned into three different categories. They're cultural enablers, continuous improvement, and enterprise alignment. And you'll notice the base is cultural enablers because that's the basis for everything. Once we have identified what those principles are, the cultural enabler ones, for example, are lead with humility and respect for people. That should be the basis of all we do. And once we have those principles, we can start to talk about, so what do the behaviors look like that go with humility? Thanking others, redirecting praise, respect. So we go through the process of understanding what are those ideal behaviors and what are we trying to accomplish. Likewise, I'm not going to go through all of these, but they're in the presentation for any of you who'd like them. You know, for the continuous improvement behaviors, as well as the enterprise alignment behaviors. So when we focus on behavior, you notice the culture's in the middle of the Shingo principle, right? So culture is defined as all current behaviors. What is occurring today, good or bad? That makes up our culture. It's the behaviors that you see. And we have the guiding principles tell us what does good look like? What are our ideal behaviors? The gap between current state and ideal behaviors is our actual work, is the work that things that we want to work on. And this is where we started with our plan.
So now that we have the concepts in place, this gave us a foundation to build on. So we started with aligning and focusing our behaviors to our organization mission and vision, which is HUM's culture commitment, which you see here. This kind of set the basis for the behaviors we were aiming to see within our laboratory and ultimately how we would work. We wanted to align our behaviors to creating a space where we all belong, working as one, earning trust in all we do, innovating and driving excellence always. Aligning our culture commitment with the Shingo principles reinforced the expected behavior.
Oh, it went the wrong way. Sorry. There we go.
Yep. It not only reinforces the expected behavior, but also connects back to the organizational level because this was our mission and vision. But most importantly, it helped align a sense of purpose at the teammate level. This is the theory that we used and we built upon. So how did we really make this happen? Well, we started with a blank A3 approach. Yes, that's right. It's a blank sheet of paper, which is 11 by 17 in size. And what you see here, I am not going to go through all of the verbiage, but is an example of the A3 that we created. More specifically, the A3 thinking process is a problem-solving tool which starts with identifying the opportunity for improvement or what problem you're trying to focus on. It clearly states the current situation, findings, identification of any gaps or any associated causes that you see, countermeasures and measurable outcomes. You can see those things outlined here as we work through looking our areas of opportunity.
Right. And I challenged Sheikha on the blank A3. I said, okay, we're going to do a blank A3. We're going to start with a blank piece of paper. Previously in our organization, our A3 tool was extremely structured, and you had to find a problem that fit the tool to be able to use it. Instead of instilling a mechanism of thinking about A3 thinking and that thinking process in our teammates. So I started with Sheikha and said, start with that blank piece of paper.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie. I looked at that blank piece of paper for about a few weeks to try to figure out how to fill it out. So you will see it's organized now, but nothing was on it when we started. Anyways, we identified our opportunity focus of building a sustainable leadership structure to maintain quality, growth and development, and process improvement within our laboratory. We started here because since the inception of our laboratory in 2015, we had continuously struggled with leader retention, communication gaps, either between departments, within departments, across leaders, and directional alignment to meet our goals. Constancy of purpose was also a concern. In the first 5 years of our laboratory being operational, our leader retention rate was approximately 50% at the manager and director level. We had several projects that had been in progress for about 7 years, and there was no end goal or no alignment to when they would be completed. Mm-hmm. One of the most important and deliberate focuses of our approach was involving our teams at all levels. As you may recall, as Linda mentioned, one of the Shingo principles is to respect each individual. As part of our A3 process approach, we involve the teams in the process as the voice of the customer and to provide feedback regarding the gaps they were currently seeing within their spaces. For the outcome to be successful, the foundational focus had to be our team and our teammates. And I want to say that again, because this was really the basis of a lot of our work. For the outcome to be successful, it really had to be the focus on our teammates and our teams. So the next thing that we did, and this is really just one output of the A3, just to kind of highlight how we worked this out, was to create alignment on roles and responsibilities to job function. Many of my leaders, surprisingly, as I had conversations with them as I was learning the space and as a new leader within their space, came around, is that my job? I didn't know that was my job. What? That's what I'm responsible for? They were very confused. So as an example of the multiple documents we created, was this, and one of the key elements here is really putting that culture commitment, which is our mission and vision, and outlining the behaviors we want to see. You may notice that smile is intentionally a behavior that we want to see. We worked on teams compromised of teammates, bench-level leaders, and managers, Each team focused on aligning job duties to roles, responsibilities, but most importantly to the behaviors and the cultural commitments. This became challenging as we started looking at the behavior piece. Our team was very good at coming up with what everybody should be doing, but when we started looking at what does good look like or how would you see that, it became very difficult to outline that. We had a lot of brainstorming sessions, but you know, some of the examples that came up was, so if we're talking about excellence and quality, what does that look like? Does the behavior of see something, say something, a behavior we want to see, is that going to drive quality? And it is, so that's something that we focused on. At the end of this activity, each group had compiled a list of behaviors that actually aligned back to their own roles and responsibilities and our organization's vision. We all know that aligning a document, such as that one, can be very difficult to put to action, and it can seem like a daunting task. This is where the focus on accountability really came in. Many of my one-on-one sessions with my leaders intentionally focused on discussions around the behaviors they were seeing within their departments, whether that be at the teammate level or at the leader level. Sometimes we even focused on their own behaviors. Discussions revolved around, you know, asking clarifying open-ended questions, delivering feedback when a gap was seen, and sometimes it was just connecting with a teammate to show them that you care and meet them where they really are. We even had a few book clubs with our leaders. One of them in particular was Humble Inquiry, which helped promote some mindset changes as it related to how we were asking questions. In the past, our questions had focused more punitively on, you know, did you do it right? Did you get it wrong? And teammates were really scared to have conversations because they were so worried that they had the wrong answer. So changing the way we were asking questions really helped change that mindset. I still recall an instance when I had a leader in my office. She was very frustrated. She was seeing behaviors in her teammates that she was not happy with. Teammates were rolling eyes during huddle. You know, some people weren't paying attention during team meetings. What do you think that she did? You know, majority of the time when we see behaviors like that, we say, well, I can't really help that teammate is. Maybe they're having a bad day, or I'm just going to let that go. She actually looked at me, and she was like, I think I'm going to pull the teammate in and have a discussion and see what are they struggling with, and how do I get them to the behavior that we want to see. She was holding them accountable, and she was owning the process for the accountability.
So changing mindset and enabling culture. This is where we talk about mindset. This was a first step we had with our leaders as we brought them together and really introduced them to mindset, skill set, tool set, and how they had to change their mindset as leaders in order to change the mindset across the department. So we focused on changing the mindset from one of compliance to one of experimentation and learning. We wanted to change it from one of we can't because to we can if.
Yep. And so obviously, you know, that changing mindset piece was a really big piece on shifting our culture. And specifically, one of the things that we focused on intentionally was the growth mindset. So this just gives you a little, you know, growth versus fixed opportunities there. But focusing on the growth mindset basically creates an environment that shows teammates that if they try, fail, and try again, it's okay. Our teammates were not encouraged to experiment and participate in trialing things, even though that's the gist of the process improvement process.
Right.
Due to also our regulatory nature of the laboratory, we often focus on policies, SOPs, you know, procedures, so that can be difficult as well. We had standard work within our place for a lot of our processes, but we had failed to create an environment where teammates were able to ask questions without fear of being wrong or feeling like their input wasn't valued. Sure, we had a huddle process where this is where they're used to bring their ideas, but it became a checkbox item both for teammates and leaders. Our lab and our team was really stunted. As I was rounding one day, this became very clear. I was in our processing area and asking teammates about a first-in, first-out process that they followed in the department. This process was specifically designed to ensure that as samples were coming in, they were the first ones being resulted out, maintaining the flow of samples in and out of the lab. I noticed that our courier drop-offs were actually set up in a way that was not conducive of this process and created opportunity for delays. So I asked one of the teammates why the bins were set up in this way. And the teammate looked at me and she's like, oh, we cannot change that. This is how it's always been done. Mm-hmm. And I asked, well, why can't we change it if we know that there's a problem and this may potentially impact quality? They just stared right back at me. I realized that teammates felt helpless and they didn't really feel comfortable bringing these ideas forward and asking questions such as, Why has it always been done this way? Or what happens if we try? Are there any other options? Or better, as Linda said, how can we instead of we can't? Mm-hmm. Being able to engage in these types of questions promotes scientific thinking that ultimately promotes a growth mindset. We focus on this heavily. I'm one to ask a lot of questions, so my team got used to me asking 5 questions every single time that they brought something to me. But with this process, my leaders started recognizing that they needed to have the answers to these questions, and then ultimately started asking their teammates more questions. So it kind of had a funnel approach and did shift their mindset regarding how they were interacting with their teammates and what type of knowledge and answers they were seeking. This coupled with building processes for teammates to enhance skills and advancement of the growth helped pave the way for the behaviors we wanted to see. So developing and sustaining our teammates' skill sets is obviously something that's very important. Advancement of our teammates was a key focus that we worked on. Unfortunately, since our inception of the laboratory from 2015 to 2019, we had had 0 teammate advancements in one of the biggest departments within the lab. Leaders weren't focused on growing and developing their teammates, and teammates really didn't feel like their leaders were supporting them through this journey. This was further validated by our engagement survey results and shared by teammates through their survey comments. We incorporated the focus of development as part of the leader standard work for all of our leaders.
Raising the level of quality was another opportunity for us. So as we engaged in that, we engaged our technical directors, our PhDs, to do some additional training, some more work on quality control. And again, that perspective that it's everybody's role to maintain the quality. It wasn't something that was an and-on to shift to somebody else.
Yeah, and so for the leaders, a lot of the things that we really focused on were developing soft skills, creating stretch opportunities, and really working in a space where feeling comfortable, being uncomfortable was okay. A lot of our leaders had transgressed into being a leader from a bench level. So soft skills and being uncomfortable, not something that they were really, hey, let me go do this. So that was a gap across multiple departments. We did this through growth and development plans, so very intentionally focusing on things that they wanted to work on, and me being their leader, coaching and supporting them through that, in addition to one-on-ones. It was a deliberate question that sometimes we would focus on during our one-on-ones monthly. I did see a mindset shift in our leaders. You know, we went from, that is not my job, I do not want to be involved in this, I don't have any time, to, sure, I'll take that on, or I'll volunteer, or better yet, I'd like to learn to do this. With this approach to date, we've actually had a total of 3 of our 5 leaders move into new roles with expanded scope when opportunities have risen.
And again, to those soft skills, it was a mindset shift of they were comfortable being the coach for technical items, but coaching soft skills was a whole new scope for them and a whole new opportunity.
So we also changed our approach to tools. We no longer focus on if you're using the tool properly. A lot of the focus previously was, did you perform huddle properly? Not necessarily, did we meet the intent of huddle and actually identify process improvement and get some wins from that. So instead of looking at the tools, we try to formulate a toolbox focus and basically helping support leaders be more flexible with the tools that they could use. And so as a problem came up, you could either use Kata, A3, 5Y process, PDSA, whatever worked to align with the opportunity that had been identified. Our team still does focus on tools, but we have a toolbox that we use. They are not the end-all, be-all, and I think that was a big shift for us as well. They're not the measure of our success because the success will ultimately come. It's the mindset that we continue to create when we're using the tools and the behaviors that we see. Some of the behaviors that we have seen with this change in our approach has more problem-solving, collaboration, and teammates being involved in process improvements.
Clicker's not behaving. There we go. It went one too far. There we go. So we wanted to create a culture of learning. So we wanted to go from that compliance culture, cultural learning. You know, Advocate has this as an initiative as others. So how did we go about that? We wanted to try some new ways to reduce fear of failure and encourage experimentation. So one of the tools that we pulled out of our toolbox was Kata. How many of you here are familiar with Kata? Anybody? Few? Okay, few folks are. So Kata has two components. I'm going to go over it very quickly. There are two components. There's the improvement Kata and there's coaching Kata. Mike Rother was the author of a number of books, and if you Google improvement Kata, there's all kinds of material on the web here. He went to Toyota to see why they were able to sustain this improvement culture when so many folks had gone to Japan and copied what they were doing and were not successful. And, you know, what was their secret sauce? And what he found was there was a rigor and a method to how they use their tools that was missing in a lot of the implementations in the United States. So Kata is something that I pulled out of our toolbox. I had used this at a previous organization, and it really appeals to lab staff. So what happens in Kata is there's a coach and a learner. The learner is the person who's leading the improvement event, so probably a manager or supervisor of the department. So they work with their leader, usually a one-up, to get the direction or challenge. We may want to improve our turnaround times by 50%. That may be our challenge by the end of the year. So then we go back to step number two and say, well, where are we today? What does that look like? What do we have? What does the current situation look like? Then they together agree upon what's the next target. Rather than trying to go from zero to the end point, we're going to pick something we think we can achieve in the next 1 to 2 months. That's kind of a nice time frame. So you pick a smaller goal in between. Then you meet with your team. The leader meets with their team and talks through the challenge, shares all the information, and they ask them, what are the obstacles for us in meeting this next target? And I don't know about your lab staff, but ours are fantastic at telling you every single thing that's in the way. They were able to create that list in a heartbeat. Then what you do with the team is you say, okay, which one of these are we going to work on? So you pick one obstacle, and then the team brainstorms, how might we get around that obstacle, and what do we need to do? And you can create an experiment, and some of these experiments are, next Tuesday from 2 to 4, we're going to try a new process. It's not a lean event that's going to come in and change everything in the department and upend things. And then when they come back, the question asked isn't, did it work? It's, what did you learn? So it isn't about getting it right. It's about learning. The second component to this is the coaching kata, and this is equally important. So when Sheikah started this with the team, she was the coach, and one of our managers was the learner. So she formed that coach. There were planning cycles as they created the next target condition and grasping the situation. There were also coaching cycles as she would meet at the board with her leader and talk through what was the team learning and how were they going through the process. This, again, is a very structured approach. So Kata gives you the questions asked. So these are the standard questions. We have little laminated cards. You can get these off the web as well. It's, what is the target condition? What is the actual condition now? You turn the card over and say, what did you plan as your last step? What did you expect? What actually happened, and what did you learn? Nowhere in there does it say, did you get it right? It's all about what did you learn. And then you go back to, what obstacles do you think are preventing you from reaching your target? Which one are you addressing now? Are you staying on the same one, or are you doing a different one? What is your next step? What do you expect? And how quickly can we go and see what you've learned from that last step?
So we experimented with Kata by focusing on a metric that our laboratory actually struggled to meet. The improvement goal was to have results available to our physicians by 7 a.m. We were unable to meet this metric since the laboratory had opened in 2015. Within a few months of experimenting with the Kata process, not only were we able to meet the metric, but we were able to exceed and sustain that improvement. As of this year, we've been continued sustaining at a 95% or higher level. In addition to that, our engagement scores were also impacted. Since this problem-solving approach is teammate-driven, not only were teammates engaged and participating, but they were the ones that were owning bringing things to the table. We even had other departments start participating in the process as problems were identified to be multidisciplinary and require teams to resolve. This helped promote a collaborative environment. So as you've heard, much work's been done over the last few years to drive behaviors to promote an environment of performance improvement culture within our lab. So where are we now? Here's just a few of our statistics. One of them based on engagement scores. So our benchmark engagement score 3 years ago was 54. We currently ended last year with 87, which is a 60% increase. Growth and ladder advancements for at the teammate level averaged about 2 per year. We've been consistently at 4 to 6 per year, which is an increase in 50%. In addition, we've also had success with leader advancements, with an increase of 33% for leader advancement. As for the changes in behavior, our specimen management team has actually implemented CADA, and they're driving down defects to the testing departments. They even developed their own motto, calling it, "Do it right the first time." Our chemistry hematology teammates were able to actually execute a 3P to create a new layout that will increase capacity in our high-volume area. This was something that was deemed undoable and impossible, but they did it.
So, make my wheels turn. I worked hard on that. performance management system. So what we did is, as we built this, we took all these components and worked them into a performance management system. We're continually adding different pieces as we go. It was not a linear process. It was as we saw opportunities and where things fit, we kept working them into the process. But you'll know what's different is this performance management system is based upon Shingo principles, ideal behaviors, at leader development. That's the basis of this. If you think back, though, a lot of the things you see on here were all things that we saw on that original tool set that was created when the core lab opened. So what's really different is our approach. So rather than that mechanistic approach, it's not tool-focused. It's more learn by experimenting. We want to support and engage. One of the other things, too, is hire experts you see there versus leader as coach. The first implementation was done by the process improvement team. We had a whole team of people who came in and helped create that core lab and put it together. And guess what? When the project was done, we closed the project and they moved on to their next project. They didn't build that sustainability component that we're working for. So we instead have our leaders as coach. The expectation is that they learn these tools and they learn to teach them to their team and to continue to build this. So our goal is to go from an ROI for each implemented tool to a continuous improvement to meet these challenges.
So since this is a journey, our journey is going to continue. The next focus is really going to be on sustainment of all the improvements and the progress that we've made. So a lot of heavy focus is going to be on leader onboarding, ensuring that we've got a proper formal process for Shingo training, because it's not something that's easily grasped and can take some extra work. In addition to having opportunities for our leaders to be able to coach each other and be able to make that connectivity, so that way it's not just one subject matter expert that holds all the information, and when that person's gone, you've got to start all over again. So I wanted to end with this quote to reflect on the journey that we've shared with you today. I also wanted to share what I've learned as a leader through this process. For one, and most importantly, I've been fortunate to have great leaders that have always been my mentor and coach. One of them is standing here with me today, and I would like to thank her for introducing Shingo into our laboratory, also to allow me the opportunity to learn and participate as we work toward a common goal. I learned that the coach and mentor relationship are integral when working through any behavioral-based approach. So if you're an experienced leader that has learnings to share, find a mentee or a learner. If you want to learn, find a coach. I realize that you don't really have to look far, as all of us have something to give and something to learn. Leveraging our skills and knowledge helped us grow as a leadership team. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I learned that I needed to pick a place to start, and that where I started wasn't really important, because this can get to be a daunting task. We started with a smile. Our journey started with the onset of the COVID pandemic. Mm-hmm. It was easy to see behaviors that needed to be improved during a time of high stress. We took this as an opportunity to improve. The changes culture is not easily visible and can feel like a very heavy task. I learned that it's difficult to see when you're in it because it's happening around you. But it's only when you actually stop and look at the behaviors that are in front that I was able to see how far we came and all of the development and progress that we had made, individually and as a team. For example, that absence of a smile and the wave hello that I referred to at the opening looks very different in our laboratory now. Teammates wave from opposite sides of the hallway. They stop and have little conversations. They even hug each other every once in a while. I also have a glass wall as part of my office, which I sit facing. And every day, I see teammates walking by multiple times. At least once a day, I get one wave and one hello through that glass wall. I call that progress. And lastly, I learned that approach matters. Incorporating Shingo principles into how we work wasn't a linear process. We basically started where we could. We picked a place, and we tried something. If that didn't work, it was okay. It was a learning for me, and I tried something different. There was really no path, a clear path of what was going to come next. It was all about the journey. And if something didn't work, we moved along, and we progressed as a team. My leader was my coach, and ultimately I became my coach. I became a coach to my leaders, and now my leaders are coaching their teammates. As a leader, I became more resilient and became comfortable with being uncomfortable. I saw my leaders become more open, and I applaud them for all of the resilience they showed through this process. We continue to strive to improve and promote the learning environment that we've created so far, and the results will come, but they're definitely not the end goal. So choose a stone to lift and remember to smile as you embrace your laboratory's journey with changing culture through the lens of Shingo. Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes the presentation. Please visit the Executive War College website for details on the 2025 event.